welcome back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back. This is a follow-up to a show that myself, my name is Matt Wallman, and it's Nate Lance on the other end. We did a show called The Great Trump Debate. We got cut off at the end, which we always tend to do on here. But that was, I think, March 23rd was when we did it before a lot of stuff has happened. So if you have no idea what we're talking about, I urge you to go back and listen to that first before you listen to this. So, Nate, you saw what happened. This is Brian's request, by the way. I'm giving you about 5 minutes. I'm not going to say anything unless you ask me something. Say whatever you want. Your thoughts. Go.
Oh, man. You're right. A lot has happened.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, this is completely unscripted, unprepared.
Good.
I didn't know you were going to do this.
I didn't tell you because I want it unprepared. I want just raw emotion.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I mean, I think the party is in a very dangerous place right now. And I don't say that necessarily because Trump is now the presumptive nominee, but I say that more from an angle of you have a party that is very disjointed. So very disjointed. We're not unified at all.
Okay.
So I think now that he's, you know, even though he's the nominee, there's still, you know, a majority of Republicans who don't want him to be the nominee, which is a scary place for any Republican nominee.
Of course.
I would say looking towards the general election, I think our chances of winning are actually hurt by this. And I know that there's polls out there that show that he's leading by a little bit, and there's polls that show that Hillary's leading by a little bit. But, you know, the Republican Party has had a very hard time in recent years winning presidential general elections anyway, simply because of the way demographics change in the general election. They're very good in the midterms because the electorate tends to be much more Republican, but when you get into general elections or presidential elections, you have more women voting, you have more people of color voting. These are all things that help the Democrats anyway. And I think, you know, getting back to my original point of how this is a dangerous place, you had Paul Ryan come out just last night and say that he's not going to be supporting Trump. I think you're going to see other leaders in the party do that.
He didn't say that.
Well, I mean, that's basically what he said, though.
I guarantee you, within the next 2 weeks, he's going to come out and support him. That's why they're having that meeting.
I think that would be better for the party overall. But, you know, I don't know. These people have their own agendas. And, you know, I can definitely see him making the political calculus that if and when Trump loses, if he's very sure that he will, then he wants to be on the right side of history and he wants to be the one to say, I told you so, and that's why you need to make me the nominee this time. So I'm not saying that's what he's thinking, but I'm saying I think if you're that anti-Trump, if he's that sure he's going to lose, that might be the calculus that he's trying to make at this point in time.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens there. But
I want to go
– yeah, I mean
– I want to go name by name on everybody – everybody who said that they were not going to support him or something of, to that effect. Some of them I don't mind them doing it. Others I do mind, and I want to go down by each of them and tell you why I believe it. Okay. So this is what I think. As I'm watching Tuesday, and oh, by the way, I go home. I had to go back to my house to switch cars, and we talked about how my family is, right? I get in the house, my dad has Trump stuff everywhere, and he had a yard sign up. My mom had to tell him to take it down because she was afraid the house was going to get egged because she's paranoid. It's crazy. It's to see, and I went to where my mom works at daycare, and people were asking me, "Do you have a chance? Do you have a chance?" So everyone's all fired up. It's weird. It's just a different dynamic. And then I was talking to somebody who I work with, who's a pastor, who's been a Republican his whole life, and he's like, I don't know if I can support Trump. It's just a weird dynamic. It's just like so many lifelong Democrats that I know are all fired up, and the Republicans I know are like, oh, it's crazy. All right, so I'm watching Tuesday. I'll be honest, I would have voted for him in a general election. I cannot stand Ted Cruz at all.
Yeah.
And it's just the way he talks. He comes off as a liar when he's not trying to lie. Why does everything so dramatic? It looks so phony. And I do believe he is a phony. We both discussed that before. So I'm rooting against Cruz, and there's nobody else to contend, so I'm rooting for Trump. And Trump kills in Indiana, Cruz drops out, Kasich drops out the next morning, and I'm like, all right. And part of me is really excited about this because it's a whole different direction, something I think needed to happen. And the other part of me is scared to death.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of like split. You brought up Paul Ryan, and all these people about the name are getting a lot of heat from some of the pundits. Like I've been watching Hannity a lot, and Newt Gingrich talked about this. Paul Ryan, what he said, I don't really mind it because I see what he's doing. I think he's spoken to Trump before, and if you noticed that whenever Ryan has some type of criticism of Trump, Trump will mention it. Like he said, well, then I can't support his budget. But he does not go – he doesn't treat him like he does all the other people that criticize him. He doesn't rip him apart the same way. He responds, and then that's it. I think this is calculated. I almost think Trump knew what he was going to say. I think after this meeting, Ryan's going to come out and say, okay, this is what we talked about. This is what needs to happen. And he's just kind of hedging his bet. He is – besides, since we don't have a president who's Republican, he is the most powerful Republican in the government right now. So he has to kind of play both sides of the fence. I don't really mind that. The Bushes are saying that they're not going to the convention. Look, George H.W. Bush has retired from politics. He's 91 years old. He came out and supported his son. Same thing with George W. He is not commenting on anything since he left office, except for when he went out and spoke on behalf of Jeb, who's his brother.
Right.
That's it. So everyone's making a big deal of this. Bush didn't go. He didn't go to the last two conventions.
Right.
He did a video speech. Yeah, he did a video speech. Everyone's like, oh, my God. Some of the stuff that Trump has said about him, the fact that he isn't coming out outwardly against him is And I know that the Bushes and Clintons actually have a decent relationship. So it wouldn't have been like a huge shock if he would have spoken out against Trump. He's not going to go against the party and endorse Hillary Clinton. But just the fact that he didn't say that speaks a lot. So all these people are saying, you know, like, oh, the Bushes, like I heard Sean Hannity say last night, the party has been really, really good to them. And they're coming out. Look, they don't. This is what they do. This is not a big deal. McCain and McConnell both said that they're gonna support the nominee after Trump is the presumptive nominee. They both said that. They're not saying Trump, but that's good enough for me on both ends. Here's the two I have a problem with: Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney. I have a problem, and you know I've defended Lindsey Graham a lot because on national security I think he's excellent, and when all this thing, you know, he's weak on the border and all this other stuff, I say, look, he's a rhino. I go, but he's really good on this particular issue, so he's needed. And at least he's forthright about things, just like McCain, things that we would disagree with him on. So I dislike this whole rhino thing, and that's why we're in the position we're in right now. However, how can he, the guy who is weak on the border, who – said this past summer, or was it, or maybe this past fall, one of the two, that the Republican Party should change their position on gay marriage in their platform. And now you're going to lecture me on conservatism?
Yeah.
What, okay, if you don't like Trump, you don't like Trump. That's fine. But the way that they put down people that are supporting him is the reason why this happened. And the fact that they're blind to that is what's disgusting to me. And this is why this is a good thing. Same with Romney. He gives this, you don't want to support him, then don't. Do what the Bushes did and shut up. But you don't even do anything. You're not in the Senate. You're not in the House. You have no role in government. All you have to do is sit there. And he goes and he gives this big speech. I think he thought it was going to be a contested convention in which he was going to get nominated. That's my theory. I have no facts about that. But he, again, the guy that signed a statewide universal healthcare bill that inspired Obamacare, ran as a pro-choice candidate, is now lecturing everybody on why Trump isn't conservative enough. And everybody went to war for him in 2012. And I'm using Trump's language. I don't know how much bacon it was, but he asked for Trump's endorsement, and he stood up on stage with him and talked about how great it was to have Donald Trump endorsing him. He looks like a hypocrite. He comes off as a hypocrite. And again, this is the reason why we're in this position. Do they not understand? Hillary Clinton had that ad. She had two ads, both of which I liked. It almost made me like Trump more. And one of them was Mitt Romney talking, you know, in his speech. And it was clips of Lindsey Graham saying that he was unfit. All these different Republicans, I think Jeb Bush was in there, criticizing Trump. And I think Greg Gutfeld said it was like, this is like Trump's highlight reel. this is why he's winning. And I don't get, like, what do you think they're doing? They can't be that dumb.
No, I don't think they're that dumb. I think they're just trying to hold on to any kind of relevance that they can. And I think what they're doing is pretty similar to maybe what Paul Ryan is doing as well. I don't want to loop them all together because, you know, I don't know if they're all having the same thought. But I think there is kind of this push to want to say, you know, if things go badly, oh, we told you so. And I think they're missing the point here. Instead of, you know, just waiting and biding time until things go south, they should be looking at why Trump's winning and trying to figure out, okay, as a party, how do we not necessarily adopt the same positions or the same talking points or anything like that, but really investigate what is it that people are latching onto and holding so tightly with Trump, and how can the Republican Party use that to their brand? But
okay, so, which is what I want to come out of this. Why I think this is a good thing is it is a change in that it's a complete change in attitude, and in my opinion, for the long term anyway, a little too extreme. But
yeah,
it needed to happen.
No, you're right.
It is
too extreme. But what they want to do, and I know we talked about this last time, so I'm going to bring this up just very quickly again.
Okay. Okay.
The anger that people feel is, yes, it's directed at both parties. People are absolutely right when they say that. But I think what people, when it really comes down to it, they like somebody who's willing to throw away all the political correctness and all the usual crap and just fight for whatever it is that they believe in, wrong or right, without compromise.
Exactly.
That is what the party should pick up on and start implementing.
Right.
That's why they're in this position, because they want to
kowtow
and play nice. Right. And what they needed to do was actually stick to their guns and stick to their principles and not sell out all the time, and they may not find themselves in this position.
And this is going to sound, and if Brian's listening to this, this is going to make his head explode, but this is going to sound counterintuitive of the narrative of Trump, right? Because of his history. And I this is what I told him on the phone. I said, look, I think there's three Trumps, right? There's three people. There's businessman Trump, who will take any political position, give money to anybody that's going to further himself in business. Okay. I know that I don't know how true this is, but I read some article where some gun dealer said that he came out and I think it was like 10, 15 years ago, and now you know how much he hates the gun culture and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if he said that or not. I don't doubt it. I have no idea if he said it or not. It doesn't matter to me though. Doesn't support Iraq in 2004, but says we should do it in 2002, and then says I never said that. It's you know whatever. There's this political Trump who is going to kind of exaggerate probably what his actual positions are. And that's being a politician. There's this guy who's this kind of like right-leaning populist. And then there's the guy. I don't know what that guy actually thinks. But
yeah.
I'm willing to guess that it's more what we're seeing now. Because he's not exactly looking at polls and taking the most popular positions.
Right.
If so, he would have been staunchly pro-gay marriage. He hasn't said anything on it. So Caitlyn Jenner could use his bathroom. That's really it. Who, by the way, is a big supporter of his. That's probably why he said that.
Right.
That's it. He's never said anything on gay marriage. That's something he could
right.
he could have latched onto. He doesn't look at one party's doctrine and follow it. Very anti-illegal immigration, very pro-Second Amendment, but his what he talks about with trade, which makes a lot of sense to me, isn't exactly the Republican narrative. So he's not afraid to kind of differ from the party that he's running against. I don't see too much of someone who's just trying to trick everybody into thinking this is what he actually is. He's taking positions that are hard to take. Some of them are. And
well, yes and no.
Yes,
I mean,
and
I think with gay marriage,
right.
He knows that he can't. You know, he knows that he can't take a position pro gay marriage
he
and
could.
Still win the nomination.
He could. I think. Well,
it'd
we'll
be hard.
Kasich. He could have gone the Kasich route. Rob Portman. I know we're talking senators. Like I just said, Lindsey Graham wants to change it in the platform. He, as a
yes.
Republican at this time, could have taken a position on gay marriage, or at least said, which something that I made me very angry the last 4 years that I've heard this, is that Republicans should move away from social issues. He doesn't do that. He takes, even though he has the rape and incest exceptions, which is the mainstream thought on abortion, he's now very pro-life. So he doesn't have to be. I think we're seeing a lot of the real him in terms of what he actually thinks. He was compelled to run. I think that's really him. What I like, and this is not has nothing to do with ideology. What I like about him is I thought as of last June he had no chance. I was one of I was one of the first people to say he was going to get the nomination. I think it said in late July, and because when he says I'm going to win, I believe him. I don't know how. I didn't know how he was going to get this nomination. I didn't think he could do it, but he projects this confidence that no matter what you put in front of me, no matter I can say or do anything, I'll break all your rules and I'll still win. And,
yeah.
Oh, I can't get to 50%, I'll go to 60 in six states in a row. I can't beat Cruz one-on-one. I just buried him in a state I was down 20 points 3 weeks
yeah.
earlier, essentially, in a one-on-one race.
I think that's what people are attracted to. They want somebody who
right.
has that kind of confidence because that gives them confidence.
So as somebody who – if you take the four pillars of his candidacy, which is illegal immigration, the threat to Islam, I have a lot of foreign policy problems with him. I'm not an isolationist whatsoever.
Yeah.
I think this is a very unpopular term. I am kind of a bit of a neocon in some situations, not all the time. He is willing to use the military, which is good, but it's kind of incoherent at times. However,
yeah,
he does
I agree.
Somebody – somebody who recognize he does actually recognize the threat that radical is – I hate that term – that Islam is in general. And he criticizes Obama on giving us a lecture after the airport in Brussels gets blown up, way more so than any other Republican did. And he takes a lot of heat for that, as Islamophobia, xenophobia, all that crap. I can't believe Graham said that. That pissed me off. But he stands there and he takes that heat and he doesn't care. So he actually recognizes that threat. We do make really bad trade deals. I like free trade too, but we're losing a lot of industry and we're getting outsourced. That's a conversation that we need to have, because I don't really have a full position on it. Because I never really thought of it that much, because I didn't come up in that. Like, I didn't work in that kind of industry, so I really don't know too much about it. But those things make a lot of sense to me, and I just was wanting somebody to finally fight for these issues. That's why he's winning, and these Republicans who are speaking out against him are just doing damage to their own brand. Did you read that National Review online article?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it would call for Rance Priebus to step down.
Yeah,
and, I seriously, if you don't want to support him, then don't say anything.
Right.
But that's, you know, and Rance Priebus said last night, what? I'm the chairman of the party. What am I going to do? not call for unity?
Yeah, he has to. He's got no choice.
So I'm just curious to see your genesis on this whole thing in the past couple of weeks. After our last conversation, do you feel a little more comfortable with it?
I mean, I do, if I'm honest. I mean, I think you're right when you say that he's not going to do everything that he says he can do, because he simply can't do everything that he says he can do. Like, I do think a lot of this is fun of a show. I don't know. I mean, I'm still not excited about voting for him by any stretch.
I'm definitely not voting. You know what?
Go ahead. I was just gonna say,
This 3 second delay is killer. Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm still not gonna vote for Hillary, but. I'm not fully comfortable voting for him either way. I feel like there's really no choice. And it's really down to the lesser of two evils. And I know what Hillary's going to do. And I know that I'm not going to like it. And even though Trump is kind of a wild card, and I think this was basically your point last time we spoke, that with Trump, at least the crazy stuff you know isn't going to happen, that he won't be able to do it. And he at least has a little bit more and a little bit more conservative thinking than Hillary does.
He's also, if you look at the team that he's building around him now, he brought in Manafort for campaign purposes and just getting delegates, but Sessions and he says this, and I don't know too many names, but he says I have some of the best people in business who are going to work on these trade deals for him. He's going to bring in good people. He wouldn't be in the position he's in now without good people around him. And it's not going to be him by himself. So it's going to be a team. Hopefully the Lincoln book, a team of rivals, if you will. O'Reilly's theory was that he was going to, that Christie was going to be Attorney General, Ben Carson, Health and Human Services, Rudy Giuliani for Homeland Security. And if you just look at the cabinet, then I mean, that's fine. It's something I've always wanted presidents to do, which they tend not to do for political reasons, is for Secretary of State, right, you have the access to some of the best military minds in the country, and you pick Hillary Clinton or Donald Rumsfeld, or I mean, somebody that – Who has no military experience. Obama did it because he didn't want her to run against him, and the party wanted her to have a position in the cabinet. Never mind that this is one of the most important positions in the country in terms of actually keeping people safe, and now that's why you have three ambassadors who are dead. Yeah. And he doesn't have to do that, because he doesn't have any allegiance to that party outside of him just them funding his campaign for the general election. And he doesn't answer the lobby, so he can bring in people who he sees fit to advise him to actually make good decisions. And like I heard somebody say, if he is totally motivated 100% for his own self-interest, which I actually don't believe. I think that's part of it, but I do think he is he's a pro-American guy. You know, maybe he does want the country to be great again, I guess. But he said his self-interest is tied to the well-being of this country if he becomes president, because he's not going for any other political office after this. He's gonna pretty much leave politics. His success as a president is tied to the success as for the country as a whole, and that's why I have some faith that he's going to at least make coherent decisions. Foreign policy is the thing that scares me. I think taxes and jobs, I think he'd be just fine on his own. Foreign policy thing, I'm kind of worried about.
Well,
I read his
policy,
tax plan. I think
he at least has, you know, foreign policy is what I'd worry about too, because he has a lot of control over that. Whereas the other things, he has to actually work with Congress to get done.
Right, right. And well, he's got 90 days to send people. But he still, any type of resolution or something, he still has to go to Congress.
Yeah.
You could Obama it and just do it yourself. But yeah.
Right.
So I the main thing for me that I am excited about is I kind of wish it was somebody else, because I have a lot of issues with things that Trump has said and done in the past, and I don't really know the guy. Maybe I've heard some really nice things he's done for people, but I've heard some shady deals as well. I don't know him that well. I don't think he's a terrible guy, but I'm not excited to go and vote because I want the guy who was on The Apprentice to be president.
Right.
What I am excited about is that this guy is taking these positions in terms of immigration and things, and actually, like we talked about, actually calling out the threat that Islam is, getting all kinds of attacks from the left and the right, getting protested like I've never seen anyone get protested since probably the Chicago Democrat Convention in 68, and stands there and he fights for these issues, and whether he means it, whether he actually implements it, the fact that he's come this far with taking these positions is kind of inspiring to me. So I've been waiting for somebody to do that.
And I
like someone who just breaks the rules. Who, you know, you can't do this because you know how politics is. It's a good old boys club.
Yeah, definitely.
And they all want their power and you know, their influence and, you know, their job. And he comes in and says and doesn't play by the rules at all. And for somebody like me who doesn't really like those rules, it kind of gives you hope. He could destroy the system. When Palin did it in Alaska, I was like, oh, she's a reformer. And I mean, that didn't turn out well later. But normally, this is being held up as something positive. But since nobody, he's not from the establishment. I hate that word so much. But so now everybody has a problem with it. So all I want you to do is, and that's how I tell everybody, it's just vote against Hillary Clinton.
I think people are being a little bit naive, though, when they look at some of the recent polling that shows him beating her.
Let's talk about that now.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I think in the head-to-head, I mean, they've done this war on women stuff for years now, but with him, it might actually make more sense than what, you know, when they did it against Romney.
He's only 6.5 points nationally. This is the average. 6.5 points nationally. He was 11 two weeks ago.
Right.
So these numbers can change. The demographic issue is the problem. But that would be a problem for any Republican.
Anybody.
It's not It's not just
but
him.
But I think it's a work problem for him.
Well, a lot of polling has shown that it is a worse problem than normal with him and Latino voters, but he's actually doing better with black voters than most Republicans do.
Yeah, that kind
so
of makes sense to me, I guess.
But what we need to count on, and this is no matter who was running, what we needed to count on was that a lot of the minorities and the younger voters who've always polled for Democrats, at least in the last 50 years, actually stay
right.
home. Obama brought them out twice, and that's what swung the 2012 election. So hopefully Hillary Clinton doesn't inspire them, and maybe they'll be still mad that Sanders lost, or at least the younger voters will, that they'll just be like, you know what, I'm not getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and waiting 2 hours in line to go for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, whatever.
And, yeah, so that's what we have to count on. We're getting a gift with her. Because I think
right.
if this was anybody else, I don't care. Look at what Sanders numbers against all the other, like all the Republicans. The fact that a 75-year-old Democratic socialist is beating John Kasich by 5 points in national polls is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I know
yeah,
Kasich's
it really
not.
Is. I mean, like, I know this country is changing in a lot of its ideology, but to think that it's changed that much that quickly is kind of crazy.
No, it's terrible. But that's what we need. That's why somebody like Trump can change that, because all people like conservatives and Republicans in general have been so disheartened, and who was excited to go vote for Romney? We were excited to vote against Obama twice, but who was like, I can't wait, Mitt Romney, John McCain, thrilling.
Yeah.
Nobody. No, Bush kind of had that energy. But he wasn't bringing out
especially
new voters. Yeah. But it was still the base. The base was excited for him, but he didn't bring anybody else out. Like at least Trump is bringing new people in. And if Republicans can get behind him, and without saying, look, we disagree with you with your tone on this or your position on this, and we're not going to change. The platform's not going to change, but we support your candidacy, and that endears his new voters to them. They have a growing base that they needed. So this is what we wanted. We got to. I want to leave you with one thing before we go. We got about 6-7 minutes. So is there anything else that you want to say that you want to get off your chest?
No, not really. Like I said, overall, I just think we're really at a point now where we're picking lesser of two evils. And I think everybody has to decide for themselves, you know, what that
we
is.
We always do that.
Yeah, but not voting doesn't help anything. So don't do that.
It's always the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we all in our head have either somebody that we wanted or have like our ideal candidate, and nobody's
right.
ever going to fit that mold. So,
right.
But it's always us. I say that as a Republican. Democrats don't care. They get so excited. Like, we're always like just lamenting whoever the candidate is. Like, God damn it, I'm going to vote for Mitt Romney. why we're always so negative.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's
why
we lose.
Well, yes. In a sense, it's a good thing because we're more principled.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have a hard time looking past what they're not principled, but we got to be more utilitarian in the sense of like, what is the greater good?
Right.
Because my perfect candidate is not your perfect candidate.
Right. One of these two people is going to become president. So
right.
You have to choose one.
Right. We're just always so down on everything. You sound in somewhat decent spirits. You're not on suicide watch like Glenn Beck is. That's good.
I know. I mean, he's kind of losing it. I don't know what the deal is there, but I don't know. That's not helpful for anybody.
No, he lost his damn mind 6 years ago. But
I don't know.
After he put his face in Cheetos, I think that's pretty much the end of his a fan here. I used to be a big fan of his. I even bought his book in college back when he had the CNN show. I don't know what the hell happened. This is the thought I want to leave you with, okay? If we could go back to 1976 when the Republican Party was completely in shambles and you had the whole deal with Nixon and it was widely unpopular and, you know, Jimmy Carter won, and I would have said, do you know how we need to fix this party? We need to take a liberal Democrat actor who, as governor of California, signed the most liberal abortion bill in the country's history, elect him president. Oh, and by the way, in his first term, he's going to sign the biggest amnesty bill in the history of the country. That is going to fix the party.
Mm.
And everybody would have lost their mind.
Right.
But it was. And he turned out to be one of the most conservative presidents ever by the end of his second term. Not always a bad thing. We can't look at like ideological purity or his whole background's gotta be perfect and in line with conservatives.
Yeah.
Just take the positive.
No one ever will be.
Yeah. Exactly. Just take the positives and take this energy that he has inspired on these issues and just if we could go forward with that, maybe one day a Republican could actually hold the White House again, because I didn't think it was possible after 4 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
So, all right.
Yeah,
that's
a good thought, though.
All right. Last couple minutes. I don't want to get cut off again. Do you want to give a final thought? And we'll go.
I guess I'll just kind of repeat what I said earlier. I mean, you have to vote for somebody. We know what Hillary will do, and we know that she'll push this country even further left, because I think she will be out to make her own legacy in the minds of progressives. And I don't think Trump has that same motivation, at least not for people on the left. So,
wow. So, all right, then. Well, I want to thank everybody if you did listen. Kind of gives people an insight to what like actual voters are thinking.
Who
do follow this a little bit, not people who are just, you know, completely out of touch and like Trump or whatever. Brian, real quick before we go, Brian's mom's a big Republican and she's like, she's really religious. So that's kind of like the issue she votes on, and she hates Hillary Clinton. She goes, I don't know if I should give over Trump because he's distasteful. And I'm like, come on, they have a vote on personality. He's so mean.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Right. I want someone who has like a little bit of an edge to him. I'm not saying that he is mean sometimes. I'm not saying I can do it 100% of the time, but he's, you know, that this stuff, that just look past his personality issues or I don't like his hair or, you know, he said this offended me.
Politics.
Yeah. Right. I hate that.
All
right. We're going to make it up here in time. All right. Thank you, everybody. And Nate, I'm gonna let you take us out. November 6th, we're gonna make America. Come on, you can say it. Come on, say it. Because just one time for me. All right.
It's too much like an endorsement. I can't.
I'm just playing. Okay. All right, I'll say it. We're gonna make America great again. That's as big as I can get. All right. All right. Thank you.
All right. See you, Matt.